Welcome to tonight's Monday night conference call. This is our new platform here, Pal Talk. I think we're going to find this a pretty good place. We've used this, I've been using this particular platform for about 15 years, maybe even longer than that. But we haven't, I haven't used it really in over a year and a half, maybe a couple of years now. And I figured this is really the best place where we can have a conference. The number of people in the room is pretty much unlimited. Plus, we'll get people passing by, seeing our shingle on the door, and they'll maybe get inquisitive on what we're about and come in and sit down and listen and catch on to what we're doing and maybe jump in on with us. This is a good platform. I think you're going to find it very, very well-organized platform. Whenever you come into this room, you can talk. You don't have to wait. If you're coming in here at 8:45 or 8:30, I try to open up at 8:30, but if you're coming in 8:30, 8:45, 10 to 9, whatever, and there are people in here, you could just start chatting away. Mics are open all the time. Again, only one person can use the mic at one time, which makes it great for conversation. If people want to pipe in, they raise their hand, and once we see the hands up, they go in order, and we just take them on. Tonight, we're going to do the question and answer a little different. We're only going to allow one question and maybe a follow-up or a little bit of a dialogue about that particular subject, and then we'll go to the next person. And if you have more to say or another question, you can raise your hand again and you'll come up onto the bottom of the list, and then you'll be able to come up and ask another question or make another comment or whatever the case may be. I've noticed that there are people that come into the room and we go quite long with some people. And by the time we get around to some of the people, they've already left, and so they didn't have that opportunity to pipe in their 2 or 3 cents. So this will make it a little better for everyone else. Whenever anybody has a question or a comment, you know, either myself or Gerard will go back and forth with that individual until we move to the next person, and we'll call on the name. Whenever anybody picks up the mic, you might want to give us your first name, your state, and your county. So let me repeat that. Whenever you pick up the mic, first name, state, and county. What people might want to do if they haven't done it, you can create a couple of usernames. You can create a username for this room, and then you're going to find this is a pretty good place to go and have some good conversations all over. There's a lot of categories. There's a lot of people online right now. There's always rooms open, and there's technical rooms. Pretty much any subject you'll find in the Pal Talk area here. So you might want to have a couple of usernames, and you can do that. But let me suggest for coming into this room, you give your first name or nickname or something, whatever you want to be called by. Give us your two-letter initials for your state and then your county after that. And this way we can identify each other where we're coming from geographically. So that might be helpful. This room also has the ability to play videos, and what we may do from time to time is we'll maybe do a PowerPoint. I'll probably pre-record it, maybe a 10-15 PowerPoint on a particular subject, and then we could start the meeting off with that PowerPoint, and then go into a dialogue and then a conversation, a question and answers, or whatever it is we're going to do. It's a pretty nice setup, and you know, everybody could talk in the text chat as we're talking, and so on. And if you have any problems, you want to check out your mic before coming in here, or anything, or if you're having any technical problems, there is a help room. Sometimes there's more than one help room open. You can go into those help rooms, and it's just like this. When you click on the help room, you'll go into that room. You can always come back here. You can get the help you need, and they'll help you set your mic up or whatever kind of a problem you have to help you fix it. The location of this room, just so people should know, let me open up a box here to see how I would negotiate you to this room if you were coming in through trying to find us through opening a chat room, to find the chat room. You can download software for this. I'm working off of software. I think the software works better than the browser, but you can also come in the browser, so either way is fine. But if you do come in through the software, or if you lose your way when you go to a help room, you just open up the room list, and in the room list, you'll find us under social issues and politics, and then you'll see a subcategory underneath that called government and politics, and then in there you'll see our room, National Liberty Alliance. Now, we do have that instruction and that information also on our website on our Monday night conference call right under the button there where you click to come in. You can scroll down, and it'll show you where to download the software if you want it, how to find us, how to negotiate to our room. Also, if you're doing those different phones, I don't even know what they are. You know, a lot of people have those pads or something, or they have the certain kinds of phones that they have all these apps that they can get, and you can come into this room on an app. There's quite a few different ways you can come in, an Android or something like that, I guess a couple of those type things, whatever. So we have that information on that page, so you'll find that there too. Okay, with that, let's get to business here to see where we're at. I think everybody knows at this point, I believe we announced it last week, that we filed a quo vanto onto the two judges in Greene County, and also to the court clerk. And the judges have been silent. They haven't done anything. But the clerk has responded. And that tells us something. It's very interesting because the letter that the clerk responded to us with was no doubt written by a lawyer. I'm going to read that letter. It's quite short. And then I'm going to read the response that we gave to her. Now, we've given them 10 days to respond. Otherwise, we're going to bring them up before the full grand jury and consider an indictment on her in this case. Her name is Michelle Carroll. Okay. And we're trying to educate her. We're trying to be kind to her. We're trying to let her know that she's in danger at this moment, and that she needs to bone up on the law a little bit, understand what's going on, and realize that she's got to obey the law, not the judges. So we have the four judges that we indicted a couple of weeks ago. And hang on a second, I'm hearing some noise. What do I hear coming through here? I don't know where that noise was coming in. Anyway, where was I? Okay, yeah, the quo vanto. We filed. First of all, we did file the indictment. I forget the dates, but it's a couple of weeks back. I know we filed the quo vanto 12 days after we filed the indictment, and the quo vanto, I believe, we filed last Monday, and we received a letter just before the weekend. We worked on a letter this weekend, and we got it out this morning by fax. It's Veterans Day and they were closed, and so was the post office. So we're ready. We're going to file. We're going to send it also by certified mail. It's important that any other state that is dealing with these problems, first of all, you should have a central individual within the state. You should be talking with your state coordinator. And the state coordinator, if he doesn't feel that he or she is comfortable or understands enough of the common law and the procedures and the processes to handle these things, you should look for someone in the state that has common law knowledge and background. And of course, you can talk with us. We're trying to handle everything throughout the country as much as possible. So, I mean, we'll even do your letter writing for you until people bone up, and we'll work with other people who have the common law knowledge within your states. But do check with us before you do anything with writing a particular depending on how you go about dealing with these people or if you're going to go and indict, do talk with us and we'll give you some insights and some thoughts. And of course, every county and every state have to work out their problems on their own, so we're not going to dictate to you what you need to do. But we certainly can help you with some experience and understanding of the process and the procedures. New York, of course, is ground zero at the moment because we have filed four indictments on two of the largest, the highest-ranking judges in New York State and two other underlings. So there's four of them all together. And like I said, we got a letter response from a quo vanto, only from the clerk. And let me read that, and then we'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll see once where we go from there. But this is their response. This is dated November 7th, 2013. It says, Dear Administrator, Unified New York Grand Jury, your correspondence dated October, and by the way, this is up on our website on breaking news. You'll find it. I think it's on the dated, I don't remember the date. Let me take a real quick look, because if anybody wants to go up there and read this while we're reading, we'll take a look. It's November 7th, 2013, letter from New York Supreme Court, and you can click on that. You can get the PDF copy of the letter, and right in the same paragraph or sentence, it says the people's response. You can click on that, and you can get the letter we wrote back to her and keep on board with us. Of course, there's a lot of activities. You might want to keep a watch on this breaking news page every day, because we try to, as soon as we have any new news, we put it up here immediately. So you can kind of get the inside scoop before Monday comes and follow along what's going on through the week. We'll try to get it up there. I know there's some letters that went out in Pennsylvania. I haven't gotten them up there yet. I'll see about getting them up there tonight or tomorrow, but we'll do the best we can to get that news up there. And there's other news breaking, and we'll put it up there also. Okay, but anyway, let me get back to this letter. Your correspondence dated October 11, 2013, was received in this office on October 22, 2013. Now, I think the correspondence she's talking about is the filing of the constitution of a common law grand jury in Greene County, New York. And I'll have to ask Gerard, he'll let me know shortly, whether that was the date that he actually filed it. But anyway, please be advised that Chief Administrative Judge A. Gail Prudente has authorized me to notify you of her instructions to all court clerks and county clerks. Now, A. Gail Prudente is the second highest judge here in the Administrative Unified Supreme Court system in New York State, and she is under indictment by us, has authorized me to notify the instruction to all clerks and county clerks, court clerks, too, acting in their capacity as clerks of the court, to reject requests to file documents that attempt to establish common law grand juries. Your paperwork was not returned to you because you provided no return address. Now, that isn't true. Every person that has been sending in these particular documents has put a return address. I know Gerard did, and I did. And we tell everyone else to do that also. But on the other communications, because we're working out of a tent and we are now operating as the grand jury coming together for potential indictments and discussions on how we're going to proceed, when we do communicate with these people, we communicate with them with no address. We give them only a fax number, and they can communicate to us with a fax number. Also, all our papers are signed administrators. That's very important. And I want to tell you, anybody that's going to be doing anything in any correspondence in any state, please, you got to be coming to these meetings on Monday. You have to become educated, understand the process and the procedure, and you got to keep yourself out of trouble. You're not you can't put down on the bottom foreman or anything like that, because that's not what you or me or anybody is. We are the administrators of the common law grand jury. And when we're communicating to anybody on behalf of all the grand juries, as we're doing here in New York, we have 19 grand juries in New York, as we are communicating on behalf of all 19 grand juries here, we communicate to them as the administrator. And so we sign on behalf and by the authority of the grand jury, and we sign it and we put administrator. And I'll read that exact words when we get to our letter, and you'll see what we're doing. But again, do not identify yourself as a grand jurist in these papers. The only place you would identify yourself as the foreman would be alongside the seal of your county when you file the papers. There's also no need to write your name in print. You just sign it. My signature is very hard to read. You're not going to figure out who I am just by my signature. And that's sort of a protection anyway. We also, when we filed our papers and we went in with the indictment, we did it with 19 counties, and we also set before them all of the affidavits showing that these grand juries have been constituted within their counties. And so we actually had hundreds of signatures on our papers when we sent it in. And that kind of makes it hard for them to figure who they're going to attack. And that's an important point here, because this is what these people do. They're going to be looking for a leader. They're going to try to single someone out. They're going to try to point their finger at somebody, and they're going to destroy their character in any way they can. They'll make things up. We've already gotten this on a local news station with some woman and some undersheriff who was on talking about the grand juries and how we're going to get everybody in trouble, and it goes on and on and on. And they related us to terrorists. They called us all kinds of things and names. They say we don't follow the Constitution. We claim that we're common law, but we don't do this. We have no principles, you know. The people went on and on and on. And so they're going to try to single people out. Let's not give them a person to single out. Remember, we're anonymous anyway. And that's the key thing. The only one that should be known by the court is the foreman themselves in that particular grand jury. They don't need to know the names of anyone else in that grand jury or in a trial jury. Only the foreman. And nobody in that court is to give the name of that foreman to anyone else. That's something that's supposed to remain anonymous for the safety of that individual, and for obvious reasons. I mean, a lot of cases were not in any danger, but there are cases where you could be in danger. So the names of these people should not be given out. When they gave the names of the grand jurist out to the FBI, and the FBI came out and investigated us on three different occasions, they violated a lot of things at that point, and they became liable. Okay, for revealing the names of grand jurists, and of course, in each case, the FBI left, realizing that there is no crime here, and they were really being sent out on a fishing expedition. And I think they understood now that we did the indictment. I think it's going to become clearer. And since they use the FBI, we're going to use the FBI too now, and we're going to talk about that in a very short while. But let me get back to this letter. Further, your recent submission of a document titled Notice of Quo Vanto is similarly rejected. However, to the extent it requires court information, it will be treated as a request pursuant to the Freedom of Information Law, FOIL, and has been forwarded to the Office of Court FOIL Officer for appropriate response. Should you have any questions, you may direct them to New York State Unified Court System, Office of Counsel. They want us to talk to a lawyer, and it gives the address. Very truly yours, Michelle Carroll. Okay, we don't talk to counsel. We talk to people, and they should feel ashamed of themselves that they can't come and talk to the people, that they have to go get a lawyer to talk to the people, and they do that all the time. Ever since I've been involved in doing these things, it's exactly what I see all the time. As soon as you go after a judge, he goes and gets himself a lawyer. And they don't pay for their lawyers, you know. They represent each other. But anyway, here's the response letter that we sent back. And again, it was faxed out today. They won't receive it till tomorrow morning. And by the way, Gerard, you might want to keep an eye on the text chat, because I'm not paying attention. I'm reading. But anyway, here's a letter. We dated it November 11th. We mailed it out this morning. I mean, we faxed it out this morning. They'll get it tomorrow morning, and we will put it in the mail certified tomorrow morning. So anyway, Michelle Carroll, Chief Clerk, Greene County Courthouse, and the address and so on. Dear Michelle, thank you for responding to our notice of quo vanto by letter dated November 7th, 2013. In your response, you stated that Chief Administrative Judge A. Gail Pedente has authorized you to reject requests to file documents that attempted to establish common law grand juries, and that you are complying with her orders. On October 15th, you were sent a memorandum informing you of the intention to file a true bill of indictment against Chief Administrative Judge A. Gail Pedente and others, should they not obey the law by October 18th. As you know, on October 21st, 2013, Judge A. Gail Pedente and others were indicted and therefore are in dishonor and have forfeited their offices. Please be advised that no elected, appointed, or hired public servant has the authority to prevent the grand jury from performing their duties on behalf of the people. Chief Administrative Judge Gail Pedente tragically acted under corporate charter, violated her oath, and thereby betrayed the good people of New York. We reject your non-answer to the quo vanto by referring to us to your counsel. be aware that, and now this is a quote right out of a couple of different U.S. Supreme Court rulings. The Sixth Amendment right to counsel does not attach when an individual is summoned to appear before a grand jury, even if he is, or she is the subject of the investigation. And that is was found in a Supreme Court ruling, United States versus Mandujano. And another one, of course, was United States versus Williams, was requoted in that particular case. We went on. See also Federal Rule Criminal Procedure 6D. Therefore, regardless of what bar-indoctrinated lawyers tell you, you are required to answer, which is the only appropriate response. We are not interested in speaking to your counsel. If you need a few more days, you may request it in writing. A quo warranto is an extraordinary proceeding, prerogative in nature, addressed to present a continued exercise of authority unlawfully asserted. It is intended to prevent exercise of powers that are not conferred by law and is not ordinarily available to regulate the manner of exercising such power. You too took an office, an oath of office. I found out, I didn't realize this, but I thought it that these people, because there's so much put upon these people as far as a responsibility, that they should be taking an oath. And so I went into the New York state constitution here, and I did find the fact that chief clerks take an oath. And of course we knew the county clerks took an oath because they're elected here in New York. But these people are appointed, but they took an oath. So you too took an oath of office. And the contract says you must answer the people. It is your duty as chief clerk of the court to respond to us and to perform the judicial process before you. If you conceal, prevent, or remove a document, true bill, from a judicial process, you will be held liable. If someone else has concealed, prevented, or removed a document from its judicial process, and you being aware remain silent, we have no choice but to presume you are complicit in that conspiracy. Therefore, the grand jury requires you to perform your judicial process duties and to answer the following questions immediately by faxing your answers to, fax number. If you respond again with non-answer, we will bring you before the full grand jury for presentment. Number one, are you being intimidated or threatened? Yes. Or no, if so, by who? Number two, have the conspirators been instructing you? Yes or no? Number three, have there been cooperation with the conspirators? Yes or no, if so, by who? Number four, are you being intimidated into making false reports? Yes or no, if so, by who? Why has the grand jury not been notified in order to pass on further information necessary for prosecution? Number six, why has there been no arraignment? Number seven, why has there been no press release? Number eight, is the true bill being concealed by someone? Yes or no, if so, by who? Number nine, has the true bill been removed from the file? Yes or no, if so, by who? Number ten, has the true bill been mutilated or destroyed? Yes or no, if so, by who? Finally, be advised the excuse we were only doing what we were told to do did not stand at Nuremberg. It is important that you, as chief clerk, understand that you alone are responsible for the chain of custody of all filed judicial documents entrusted with you. If you are under threat, pressure, or intimidation by judges and or lawyers to not respond to the grand jury in order to perform felony rescue, and others are speaking for you, and if that is the case, it is your duty and obligation as a servant of the people in your capacity as chief clerk, who is to file processes of the court, that you need to tell us so that we don't target you. We also understand that you may feel that your employment is in jeopardy, and if that is the case, the grand jury will do all that is necessary to see that you will not be harmed. please fax your respond. Gave the fax number. We signed it, signed by order and on behalf of the Unified Common Law Grand Jury of New York. That's 19 grand juries here in New York. Signature, administrator. And then we carbon copied two different law enforcement agencies. We've been thinking about this for a long time. We've done a little bit of investigation on the provost marshal. We've also looked a little bit into the FBI and what their job is and requirements. And also, since they've kind of used the FBI on us, we thought, well, maybe it's time to turn the tables because we have some serious crimes going on here in New York in these court systems. So we all carbon copied the provost marshal of the 13th District, Captain Joshua Ferreira, Jr. at West Point CID. And we also copied the FBI of Albany, Special Agent Andrew Vail on Macaulay Avenue in Albany. And we're putting together a package. Hopefully we'll get it out tomorrow, but we'll get it out this week to both of those law enforcement agencies. And they are obligated by law to look into this, and we're really going to be asking them not necessarily to go out and investigate yet, because we're in the middle of our investigation and process and procedures, and we're forging forward in the process of our indictments. And what we want them to do is to be alerted of our situation and the resistance that we're getting and the cover-up and the conspiracies that are going on here in New York State. And so therefore, we want them to be apprised of these things, and we're going to keep them informed on all of the communications and whatever has taken place and whatever other indictments we need. But we're also going to tell them to be on alert. Should we need their assistance, we'll let them know. We appreciate their time, blah, 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 and so on. Now, we haven't created that letter yet, but basically that's kind of what it's going to say, and that's pretty much it. Okay, with that, I am going to hang on a minute. I am going to, I guess, open the mic. So if anybody has questions or comments, now is the time to raise your hand. And we'll start discussing things. Next week, we'll share with you our letters that are going to go to the provost marshal and also to the FBI. And we'll also share with you a list of the documents that we're going to be sending them. And we're going to talk a little more. We have a lot of different tools, sort of to speak, in our toolbox. We got a lot of different things to do, and we're kind of trying to figure out which to do next. And we're not even sure which we're going to do next, but this was a decision we made this past week, at the end of the week, mostly over the weekend, as a matter of fact, that we were going to do this with the provost marshal. It was time to pull him in and to advise them. Now, you know, the main provost marshal out of Washington would be a problem because that individual was appointed by the president. Now, maybe they all are, but I doubt they're going to find that many progressives throughout the entire country. New York alone has 33 provost marshals, and this is the provost marshal that deals with Greene County and I think Orange County, Ulster County. And so we figured we'd try that out. We also thought of some other agencies, the Department of Justice, but the Department of Justice is owned and paid for by the Treasury Department, so we figured why call them and even have alert them of our existence. I'm not even sure whether they know whether we exist yet or not. We also thought of the FTC because they deal with issues of the court, particularly in the commercial side of the court, which is equity side, which is what they rule under, and they run their rules, of course, as under admiralty law. All courts are running as admiralty law and have been doing so at least since the 40s, probably even earlier than that, and they've been pushing that in on us for a long time. And so those were agencies we decided we're just not going to deal with. But the FBI, we believe, are our friends to some degree. We've had we've come to contact with them on three occasions, and at least two of those three occasions worked out very well. The third occasion, they kind of just ran away. They didn't want to even deal with us or talk with us or reveal anything. So we know they wouldn't hear under official business. They were doing favors for the judges. That's what we think anyway. But anyway, that's it. Let me open the mic up. Donald from Alabama, Madison, Alabama. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
I decided, since I've not been able to get any answer from a district attorney yet or from anybody else over there yet, I'll try again this week down at the clerk's office. But what I also did was I went to the commissioner's meeting and waited for the public forum, and I will get a copy of my speech that I made on the floor of the chambers of the commissioners, and I'll send that to you, where I announced the constitution of the Alabama Common Law Grand Jury, and I also discussed some other things about the Oath Keepers and other actions going on around the communities. But I'll get that to you, and that's another way to get stuff on public record is to stand up and talk at public forums, at meetings and stuff.
Well, absolutely, and yeah, that sounds good. And listen, if anybody needs some counseling from us, we're open for counseling. We can meet with maybe a group of your people at any time if you feel you need us, and we could do that right on Pal Talk. We can create a private room, or we could do it on Skype or whatever kind of a platform we can work off of. And maybe we'd be able to give you some advice and thoughts, but it sounds like you got things going. But just be careful. Remember, do not get caught into their jurisdiction. They are in our jurisdiction, and we need to develop some mindsets. And let me pass this very important mindset on to you. For those of us who understand the common law procedures and the processes when we get involved in, for instance, in a court of record, there's a tribunal. Okay? And the tribunal is the sovereign of the court, or it is the jury, the trial jury, which, of course, is the sovereign of the court, the 12 individuals. It is never the judge. The judge is just the traffic cop in the court. That's all he is. He's an administrator of the process, nothing more, nothing less. He doesn't get a chance to rule. He doesn't get a chance to say anything about law. He doesn't get a chance to do any of those things. Okay? He kind of just sets the dates and, you know, keeps peace and order in the room. That's about it. But he's always to be looking at the tribunal of the court to get their permission or their approval as the process goes on. This is very important that we start to train these judges to understand what their job really is. And they're not supposed to be called judges. They should be called justices. And they're supposed to represent justice. And by that, really, they really remain silent and do the will of the sovereign of the court, which, again, is the tribunal, which, again, in most cases, is the jury, the trial jury. Now, we the people in the position or in the capacity of the grand jury, whenever the people come together in the capacity of the grand jury, this is extremely important. When you talk to people, you have this mindset in you, okay? When the grand jury is acting in their capacity, they are a court of record, open for business, wherever they go, okay? If you're in an office and you're doing an investigation, you are the grand jury, you are a court of record, open for business, and you're looking for evidence, and you're communicating with people, and you're trying to solve the problems. And we're always trying to solve the problems. We're not out there to put people in jail, to violate them, because they're as lost as we were once. And we need to bring them back home. We need to bring them back on point and give them that opportunity to obey the law and come back into the fold, so to speak. But remember, you are in your capacity as the court of record. When we talk to these judges, we are superior to these judges. We don't talk to their lawyers. Leave your lawyers at home. We talk to them. We tell them. When they say we request nothing. Okay, we're not requesting anything. We're telling you what we're going to do, and we're going to do it. And that's how you have to respond to these people all the time. You're always on top. They are in your jurisdiction. You never get into their jurisdiction. You have to be careful. People wanted us to file a writ of mandamus. And we knew if we filed a writ of mandamus that they would pull us into their jurisdiction here in New York. We know that because they've already done that to us. We've already done this. We've been there. We've done it. We know exactly what they're going to do. We're not going to give them that opportunity. That's one of the tools in our toolbox. We may use it on the federal level, but we're thinking about that for a future possibility. But we'll see. We know if we go into the federal level on that, they won't violate that in that way. And really, what a writ of mandamus, particularly from the perspective of the grand jury, is going to the higher court that's above the court that's given us the problem that won't be obedient, or to the individual in a particular office that won't be obedient. We're going to the court and we're saying, hey, look, one of your employees are out of line, and this is what they're doing, and you need to get down there right away and fix it and make sure they obey, Okay? And that's what a writ of mandamus is all about. And when it comes from the position of the common law grand jury, or any grand jury, well, the grand jury is the grand jury, period. When it comes from the position of the people through the grand jury, that court must obey us. And we act and talk with them with the knowledge that we know they're going to obey us, but we also treat them with respect, and we be as humble as possible. But when the time comes, you know, we may have to step on a few heads, and that's what we got to do. So anyway, just keep that in mind, and it's important we come from that perspective. Roger, and if you want to follow up on that, raise your hand, and you can come right up next. If not, Roger, go right ahead. Yeah, Roger, I don't know where you went to, but you got the mic. You're next if you want it. All you have to do is to the where you raise your hand button is, to the left of that, it's push to talk. There's a drop-down box there, too, and you click on that to hold the mic open without you having to hold it down. One other thing, the camcords don't really work in the room for people who don't have a paid name. For instance, you see that I'm in blue here. I paid $35 a year for that, and this way I don't have to watch advertisements or anything. It is a clearer service, and you get to use the camcord, and it does go through. But those in black, I think they just give you limited time on the camcord, and then it shuts off. It might come back on and off, but you might. Others who are in black, I don't think can see it. They only get a few seconds of seeing it, I think. But I do see EPR Griffin, is that? I could see that they're coming through, and they got a black name, so at least it's broadcasting. But anyway, I don't see any hands up, so anybody wants the mic and any questions, comments, mic is open. While I'm waiting to see a hand go up, okay, Jacqueline, go right ahead.
I don't know why they can't take the mic, but somebody had some good news. I think it was Hagen, wasn't it? Did somebody say they had some news for us?
Yeah, it was Hagen, and he looks like he's going to go up next. Let me just say for Jacques and I think it was Roger before trying to get the mic, down on the bottom of your page, you will see raise your hand. Just to the left, if you know where you raised your hand, you had your hand up, just to the left of that, you'll see hold to talk. Put your cursor on the hold to talk and left-click it, okay? And you have to hold that down as you're talking. If you're only going to be a few seconds, that's how you do it. If not, if you're going to be a few minutes or more, you know, you to the right of that hold to talk, there's a little drop-down arrow. Click on that drop-down arrow. And it says, let me see what it says on this. It says lock mic on. So if you come down and click on lock mic on, the mic will pop up in front of your name, and you'll be on the mic. Now, the mic won't drop when you're done. You have to go and click that hold to talk button again to drop the mic. Okay, so anyway, Hagen, go right ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me, Jesse? John, can you hear me? John? Hello?
Yeah, he can't talk until you let go of the button. Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, go ahead. Pick the mic up again, Hagen. Yeah, only one person can have the mic at any given time, so you have to drop the mic in order for us to respond. But if you keep an eye out open in the text chat when you ask if anyone can hear you, you'll see people throwing out ones. That means we can hear you. So go right ahead. You got the mic, Hagen.
Okay. Hopefully you're hearing me now. We got the common law grand jury filed in one of the counties here in Pennsylvania, and Westmoreland County. And the clerk of court, of course, checked with the administrative office in Harrisburg for the Pennsylvania courts, And they obviously instructed him that he didn't have a choice. By law, he had to file the papers. So he did and charged a $21.40 fee. And I felt that it was it would behoove us to go ahead and do that because I believe that that will open the door for other counties to get theirs in now. And then our next move, which we'll be discussing tomorrow night, will be to take control of the jury room and see what happens there. So I wanted to let everyone know that we did that, that we got it in. We're also moving on a bunch more counties in Pennsylvania to get their elections done, and I've got a bunch in Florida that's waiting for me to get there as well. So it's good news, and hopefully others will be inspired to go ahead and hold their elections on the east side of the state. I know Jesse surely needs the help over there.
Well, okay, that's really great news, Hagan. And what I'd like you to do is, as soon as you know things are working well, you know, a day or two or whatever, write a press release. Get a press release out to the local newspapers, especially the ones that wrote stories. And especially in the counties are the ones that wrote stories. I know some county, other counties have written stories, and get some press in there. And send us a copy. We'll get it out also. We got a lot of really, really, really exciting things coming down the pike here. We've been in contact with all kinds of people, and it's really going to help us to really get out there. And we're going to get some good news coverage. But do write that press release. If you need some help with it, I'll help you write it. And let me suggest strongly to you, try to get as many counties. I don't know how many counties you have out there in Pennsylvania elected yet, but you know, maybe you can let me know when I get off the mic or put it out in the text chat what the number is. But let's get a bunch of them together. Then get in there and have a meeting. I would say that these people should try to get in at least once a week just to have a meeting, even if it's 20 minutes. But remember, be careful what you say in the courtroom, in that jury room, because they probably have recorders in there. And when you get access into the court, into the jury room, you're going to want to go and see the clerk. We'll give a call to the clerk and say, hey, we're going to come down on Tuesday. We'd like to meet with the custodian to get access into the grand jury room. And then you go get that access into the grand jury room. When you're with the custodian, you're going to want to ask them, are there any recorders in this room? Where are they located at? Well, you know that there's a recording system in there anyway because they do record, and it's appropriate. Everybody should know what the recorders are on. But you want to make sure that that's off every time you go into that room. But don't trust that anyway because these people are snakes. They probably have another recorder somewhere that people don't know about. So just be careful what you say in that room. Have your real meetings outside, but get in there and discuss some things and some details. Get them used to seeing you. See if you can get some identification cards so you can pass by the security. You know, all of these things, you know, it just puts you better and better into the door. Now, I would suggest that once another county does the same, you know, all the counties that are coming in, have them all do the same thing. Get them used to seeing you. Get them cards. Meet with the custodian. Also, before that custodian leaves, say, by the way, can you bring us down to the mailroom? We want to know where we might be able to be getting our mail. And go down there, introduce yourself to the people in the mailroom, find out where your box is at, and let them know you'll be stopping by to pick it up, or do they bring it up to the room. Find out what the deal is on that. And then maybe try to get some mail going into that system. We'll have to be creative on how we would start doing that. All this is building our credibility and building our positioning in the court. Now, once you feel comfortable and you have maybe, I don't know, 10, 12, 15, I don't know how many yet, juries together in different counties, you're going to want to start with one county, and you'll want to meet with the judge. And you want to make this conversation go as good as possible, and you want to be friendly, you want to be humble, you know the game. And we want to get on their good side, and we want to make sure he understands, you know, that he's got to obey the Constitution. And the Constitution says thus, thus, and thus. Now, I'll tell you, when you get to that point, if you want for me to come out there and some others from New York to sit and work with you on this, we'll be out there. No problem. Just give us the call, and we'll head out there, and we'll assist. Even if you want us to be the lead speakers, they don't know who we are. We won't take any votes in any way because we're not from Pennsylvania, but we definitely can help you. But definitely you should be out there, Hagen, or somebody with also some knowledge and understanding of the system, and preferably someone with the knowledge should be involved with good knowledge of the common law and understanding these the supremacy clause in the Constitution, be able to interpret it within their own mind as they speak to these people. Also go into your Constitution in Pennsylvania. You'll probably find something with either a court of record or common law, or just the word law on its own, because law is common law when it's written in the Constitution. So all those things, think and work on those things and figure it out. And if you need our assistance, we'll be on our way. In a heartbeat. Celtic. Before Celtic picks up the mic, Hagen, did you want to respond to any of this or make any more statements?
Yes, there's some other people on the chat board there that's bringing up some issues that I obviously left out, but it's very good. Anyone can read that and see what's going on. But there was a reporter from the newspaper out there that did an article that you actually have up on Breaking News on the National Liberty site. And they talk about this professor from Duquesne University. His name is Wes Oliver, who seems to think that the grand jury is not a lawful thing. He obviously is not very well educated on the Constitution, because the things he's saying is just totally absurd. I would hope that people would read it and then read the Constitution for themselves, and they can see what's going on. But, thanks to Tom Altman and Cassie and a bunch of other people out there in Westmoreland County that got these things done and got them filed. And I'm really thankful. We have so many good people that are coming on board all over this country and in the different states, and I want to thank them as well. And by the way, I did talk to the girl in South Dakota, Stephanie something. She is not from North Dakota, so that needs to be corrected. North Dakota is not on the list yet, but hopefully that we'll have them in Vermont soon. I'm really looking forward to getting them up, and I thank you, John, and I appreciate you taking the time to listen to what we have to say.
Well, I appreciate the work you're doing out there in Pennsylvania. And again, you get a hold of Carl with, Gerard, what's that mail address for Carl? Is Carl here? With NationalLibertyAlliance.org. I'll have to look it. I'm sure you know where you can find that. I'm going to ask Carl if he could put a phone number up there, and maybe even if he wants to just put the times that you can call him. And maybe that'll make it a little easier, but he'll take care of that. I started a paper, and I'm going to get it up on the Breaking News page shortly. It'll be probably in the top right-hand corner or something. And I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to call it, but it really is going to be in response to these people. I have found that they say the same things over and over and over again, and we have to neutralize this. And we have no problem neutralizing this stuff. I'm just going to quote a few things that actually came out of the newspaper, that you were talking about there, Hagen. This guy says, "This is a rogue band of citizens with no legal authority," said Wes Oliver, associate press, a professor and director of the criminal justice program at Duquesne, however you say that, University School of Law. To what extent there was ever a common law grand jury system that was self-creating, there no longer is. So we're going to respond to that quote, the fact that they claim that that we have no legal authority. We're going to make it clear where our legal authority comes from. And any time a newspaper, when you deal with a newspaper and you talk with these people, you already know what the other side's going to say. So get these answers in there. We're going to get this paper out. It'll be on a PDF form. We'll try to keep it short, but we'll give a lot of authorities, key in on the footnotes on our papers, because you can make the statement to correct something, and we'll give a little bit of a morsel, a piece of meat or something, or bread there for them to chew on, but we'll give you a whole bunch of authorities in that, more authorities in that footnote, and you'll be able to hit that reporter up before he even gets over to talk to these other people. He'll already have the answers to the things that they're going to say. There's another one that they bring up. Legal experts say that in 1946, the federal rules of criminal procedure were established, doing away with the common law grand jury model. That's a lie directly from hell, because we've already started reading the rules, and it doesn't say anything of the sort. It does make the rules for the procedures and the processes of the grand jury as being called for and impaneled by the judges and the prosecutor and how the system works and all that stuff, but that doesn't deter us, the people, from stepping up. Now, we could look at it from a couple of different ways. The people didn't step up to bat, and the courts had to do something, so they created the rules for the courts to impanel them. Okay? Of course, that's not the way it really happened, but we can tell that story anyway. The real story is they dumbed us down, removed it from in front of us, and robbed our children in school, didn't teach them the truth, and today we know nothing about it. They've taken out of it history books and everything, and we had to fall upon it and now bring it back up, and we're going to teach our children, and we're going to get it out to the people, and we're going to take it back and get all these snakes out of this this den up there in our judicial system. Another one they say, grand juries must be approved by courts. Another lie in hell, lie from hell. There is a statute of procedural rule that allows citizens to convene a grand jury. Oh, well, that's something positive. These are just some notes I have. Anyway, that's just some of the notes I wrote, and we're going to nip them in the butt. We're going to deal with all those things. So everybody's going to be armed with this paper, with all the authorities and everything we need. It'll be PDF. You'll be able to print it out, and it'll be right up there on our webpage. And you can also give a copy of that. That's what I would do. Give a copy of that to the news reporter after he does that little bit of an interview. And remember, there is no leader. We're just one of the people. That's all we are. We're no one special. There is no leader. We're working together, educating each other, doing what we have to do. And it all boils down to 12 people or 25 people in a room at the end of the day figuring out what it is we have to do. Any final response on that, Hagen? And then we'll go to Celtic. All right, I guess not. Celtic, go right ahead. You got the mic. Anybody else wants the mic, just raise your hand, get in line. Go ahead, Celtic.
Is it too loud? Can you hear me? Is it working? Is it too? Okay. So, can I talk now?
Go right ahead.
Thank you. All right, so the county organizer told me that we had a law in Montana that we could be arrested if we did this, and he doesn't seem to be much into it. So I want to clarify that. I want to be clear that no one's going to get harmed trying to do this. And it's not very helpful. You know, this guy's actually into fully informed jury and jury nullification. That's what he's trying to do. And I'm afraid he may be discouraging people, you know, by telling them they can get arrested. And I'd just like to have your input on that.
Well, yeah, that's what the enemy's going to tell you, because, listen, the fox is in charge of the chicken den here and or the hen house, and they certainly don't want you there. That's going to ruin their whole game. They're going to become known that they're criminals, and they're going to have to go to jail. They are so deeply embedded in their criminality, I don't think there's any way they're going to hide what they've been doing. And they know they're going to be found out. Now, I don't know who this individual is that you're talking about. Maybe it's someone who's not necessarily a lawyer or a judge or involved with the system, but coming from a different perspective. At least it sounded like that from what you were saying. But there is no law they can get you for. You're one of the people doing the people thing. Of course, you know, there's nothing more dangerous than ignorance in action, especially with someone with power. But they're going to have to find a lawyer, Broken. They're not going to be able to do that. They've been trying to do that in New York for quite some time. They have threatened us numerous times with legal things, and there's not a darn thing they can get us for. But we know that because we've been studying it. And we're writing papers and different things, and people have to bone up. And this is why I'm telling you that the four people, each county needs to find four people as administrators of the jury. And it's not just the grand jury, it's the trial jury also. So they're administrators of the jury. Those people should be educating themselves. If they're not educating themselves, then someone else needs to take that point, because you need four people who are interested in furthering their education, understanding the process, the procedures, understanding common law, understanding the fiction, what's going on. And now I know it's new to a lot of us, and that's good. That's fine. The thing is you have to be learning. We have everything you need to know on our website. And again, you know, after you go through the orientation, the big question is, did the people go through the orientation? That's the beginning of your education. It's about a 3 or 4 hour of videos. And, you know, you don't have to do it all in one sitting. And after that, you come to the end of the page. If you've already got your grand jury established, you know, well, that's the next thing you do. But if it's already established in your county, and even while you're establishing, you should continue on down to the bottom of the page, and we tell you where to go. Where to get the lectures on common law, what things you should be reading, an anatomy of a court case, how does the process go. We wrote a book on that. That's available free of charge. You can download the book and files. We got all kinds of stuff. But people need to be spending time educating themselves. And bear in mind, those four individuals, this is a full-time job. And it is a paid position. You will get paid. You're just not going to get paid until we get in power, and then we'll put in for our budget, and then at that point we'll start to get a paycheck for what we're doing. So it's a 40-hour-a-week job, and we'll probably put a lot more time than that. But you have to become educated. When you get to this, is why it is so important to be communicating not only with the people within your county, but to be communicating with the leaders of the other counties. This is why people should be coming to our Monday night meetings. And when you get to communicate with the people in the other counties, you're going to find that there are certain people that will rise right in there, and they've got the understanding. They've been working on common law. Let that person be the point man or the point woman in your state. You'll find two or three people coming up. Let those people be the point people to work out the real serious problems, to write the letters and work things out. And again, they can give us a call. And we got counselors too. You know, I mean, we don't have the answer. We know the people who can answer these questions. No matter what question you have, we will get the answer for you. And we'll look at your paperwork. We'll help you figure that out and everything else. But if you do everything right, there's nothing they can do. Don't sign any paper as a grand jury or as a foreman or anything like that, because that's where they're going to try to get you on that, falsifying papers. You sign it as the administrator of the court. And if you do an indictment, you know, talk with us first. We'll talk to you about it. But if you do an indictment, you need to do it with power. You need to do it with 10 or more grand juries in place. You also need to have all of the witnesses and all the documentation in order, and you need to add it in the back of your document. And, you know, look at our indictment. You can find that at the bottom of the press release page on our website. You know, click on breaking news, go all the way to the bottom, and you can get a complete copy of our indictment. And you could see all the paperwork we piled in there. The indictment itself is only 2 pages, but we have 105 pages. You know, and we have hundreds of people that have signed papers in on that paper, and there's nothing they could do about that. Okay, what are they going to do? Go out after 100 people? And they don't even know who and where you are, because we don't print our names out. We have our signatures in them. Most signatures you can't even read anyway. And I'm sure there's a lot of John Murphys and Smiths and this and that and the other thing. So, but the bottom line is there's nothing they can do. We have, if you want to really empower yourself, download, it's right on our front page, it's in numerous places on our website, download United States versus Williams. Read through that entire case very carefully, particularly paying attention to the highlighted areas in yellow. Come back and reread those highlighted pages and paper places in yellow over and over again, and that will empower you, because in that case it tells you clearly where this power comes from. This is a Fifth Amendment right. This is an unalienable right protected by our Fifth Amendment, and that's where you come from. Also, we have a book that we wrote. It's called Handbook for Jurors, sheriffs, bailiffs, and judges. Read through that book thoroughly. Read through it over and over and over again. Get to realize where get familiar with that book, so when you're talking to someone, you know exactly where in that book, because we've got headings in there, and it'll be easy to find things. Oh, I know where I can find the answers to that. And you look, and you can read it right out. These are authorities. We're giving you authorities. We're giving you common law. We're giving you U.S. Supreme Court rulings. And sometimes we're giving you codes. Makes it clear as a bell, you have every right. You are not breaking a law. And there is no law they can find that they can claim you do break. As long as you follow the instructions we're giving you, there are certain things. Look, if you've never done it before, check with us before you do it, and we'll say, yeah, that's the right, you got it, do it that way. Or we'll say, whoa, do it this way, or tweak it here and do it that, sign it this way or whatever. We'll give you all the clues, check with us. And once you've done something and you've done it before, you don't need to check with us. Go do what you got to do. But as you're learning, check with us and find the people in your state that have the... That have accumulated the knowledge or in the process of accumulating it. This is a joint venture here. We the people have got to step up together and do this thing together. We got to work together. Do you want to respond back to that?
I want to respond to her a little more specifically, John. That was a good answer. But to respond to her specifically, the fellow that's telling her that is doing the fully informed jury association. We know who he is. And the reason I believe he's saying that is because he has all this time vested in his particular thing, and you're going to get that. Now, the problem with the fully informed jury is a great thing, and Judicial Watch is a great thing. It was a good thing. They were the baby steps that we took in the beginning. But what we've come to find out is that those juries are controlled by the judges and the prosecutors. They can kick any juror off whose decision they don't like. They can throw the whole jury panel off, and they can resend their opinion. What kind of a jury is that? He wants to work with the system. Well, the system is broken. And if he doesn't understand that, then he hasn't done his research. And what we're doing is constitutionally correct. There's no staples here. And ultimately, you're going to win. Now, that being said, that doesn't mean that some local yokel judge or somebody won't send a sheriff out or a police force out to arrest you. Could happen. Like John said, there's nothing so frightful as ignorance in action. The only thing is it would be a very, very stupid move because they're going to lose. And I think if you did get arrested, you would come out on bail and they would drop the charges and how much a minute, some kid that they picked up and held for 12 minutes or something, he ended up getting $25,000 because of unlawful imprisonment and that type of stuff. They'd be really stupid to arrest you because this is a constitutional thing. If you read that opinion of that attorney I put in, he tells you what the lie is and how that they can't, how they're using fake language. They're saying that the common law grand jury is obsolete. Well, obsolete doesn't mean it's illegal, and it doesn't change it. And it's part of the Constitution. You cannot change the Constitution by passing some code. That's not how we amend the Constitution in this country. And that's the lie that they've been putting forth. And you have to know that, and you have to speak strong, and you have to stand up, and you have to give it. You have to give it to them in their face. And believe me, they'll back down. You tell them, if you arrest me, I'm going to sue you personally and your court, and I'm going to own you. And that's what we do. And they're not so sure after that. You know, when you put all the information down, they're afraid to act. We've backed them down. We've also backed the FBI down. The FBI comes. We say, listen, we're investigating you because you shouldn't be investigating a secret grand jury. That's a false report. We want to know who put it in. And you know what they do? They say, oh, no investigation, and they leave.
Yeah, and if you want to respond to any of this, just pick the mic up. The other people in line will wait while you pick the mic up and respond. But before I let go of the mic, I just want to respond to someone asked me about Paltalk being free. And yes, it is free, although you do get some advertisements if you do pay the get the blue name like I got for $39 a year. You don't get the advertisements, and so you're either going to get the advertisements or you're going to pay the $39, and that's how they keep this thing going. And there's some other good things you could do. There's a little extra things you could do if you got the blue name. But the black name works fine, too, as long as you don't mind getting solicited as you come online and as you come in rooms and go out of the rooms. They solicit you every time you make a move. But other than that, you know, that's what it is. But anyway, did you want to respond to any of this?
Oh, yes, I would. But part of the my concern is that the person that told me this is our county organizer. His name is Chris. And so he's a county organizer. That means that people would be contacting him and he'd be telling them this. So I don't know. I think there's a problem there.
Well, there absolutely is. He's not following our instructions. And if he's nervous and afraid to go forward, then we need someone else at the helm. Or if he's been misinformed. There is a lot of misinformation out there. Obviously, he's not coming to the meetings. He needs to get to the meetings. And that's this meeting right here. And if he has these concerns, we can help him. And we do write papers and we do things. And we're writing. We've got lots of papers. Get our book alone. The book alone will give you a lot of strength. Read the papers and the letters, what we've written back to these people on our line, on a Juris Document page. And knowledge is power. If a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. So there are other people in that county, hopefully, and someone else should step up and take the helm if that individual isn't doing their homework. And I mean, they can come back and get in there, or they can just get corrected. We all have errors. So if the guy has an error, he needs to be corrected. If he's been poisoned, it may take a little time to get the poison out of his system. So until that happens, he should step out, down. You know, there's a lot of poison out there, a lot of misinformation, and we got to get it right. We have nothing to worry about as long as you follow the process and the procedures and you stick to the authorities and you bring the authorities out. You know, next week, we're gonna, maybe if we have the time, we'll talk a little more about this and get into details. I'll prepare something because I carry papers with me in one of my briefs. So if I meet up with an FBI agent or if I'm going to meet up with a judge or anybody, I've got all these paperwork of authorities and different things to give to them so they understand exactly where we're coming from and by what authority we operate under. And there's nothing they can do, not a thing. Not that they won't try, and not that they won't try to intimidate you, because they will. But anyway, did you want to follow up with another statement on that?
Yes, I would like to. I just, you know, he's on the website as a county organizer. Is there any way you can take him off? Or, you know, it just doesn't seem very good to have someone. He's really following his own agenda with this trying constitutional amendment stuff. So I just don't think he should be on the website as a county organizer.
All right. Give me his name and county and state, and I'll give him a call. It's not for me to remove anyone. Bear in mind, you know, we will have problems like this, and a lot of it is just ignorance, and hopefully, you know, they're in a position where they're ready to receive correction and move on with us. And if not, then it's going to be up to the people in the county and the people in the state to deal with him, because this is not a top-down structure. And I want to make that clear, and I want to really act in such a way as people see that we practice what we preach. If the people of that county were to call me up and say, hey, we got a problem, and we want to take this guy out and put someone else in their place, or whatever the case may be, because there's a lot of county organizers anyway, but we don't want this guy on the boards because he's a problem. If those people tell me that, then I will do what they tell me, because this is their county. This is the people of the county. If the state comes together, you know, as the counties, people in different counties, and say, look, this guy's a problem, he's a rogue, he's going a different direction, and we need to take him off, that's your business. We will obey whatever you tell us to do. But we can't make that decision from this level. But we definitely can talk to him and try to bring him back on board and try to educate him. So give me his name, his state, and his county, and I will give him a call tomorrow and see once what we can do. And but then after that, if he wants to continue rogue, you know, we're going to hope that the county fixes that problem. Just step up and do what you got to do.
Okay, thank you. Can I contact you on the website, or how do I give you that info?
Drop me an email, John, J-O-H-N, at nationallibertyalliance.org. John at nationallibertyalliance.org, and I'll look for your email. And let me, before we move to the next caller, let me first make a statement here concerning my email. My email and my phone number has been out there forever, and it's still out there. And anyone can send me an email and give me a call, and I'll talk. But we are getting, we're growing exponentially. We have thousands of people across the nation now that are working with us, and we're just growing in leaps and bounds. So it's difficult. So I ask everyone, you know, unless it's important, don't call. If you do call, if you can get me on a Monday night, that's even better. If you have a problem, a technical problem, you can go to support at nationallibertyalliance.org, and Carl will help you walk you through that. We also have a different number for the press, and of course my number for anybody who wants to talk to me. But again, Monday night is the best place to talk to me. I cannot respond to all the email. It's just an impossibility. I do try to read all my email, and I wish there's some stuff I'd like to respond to, but I just don't have the time. I just got too much to do. But maybe as time goes forward, maybe I'll get some help with people being able to help answer some of these questions or take some of my responsibilities away, and I'll have more time to answer some email maybe. But this is the best forum for questions and answers. And what's good about this forum is that one person has a question, and maybe there's three or four or five other people on the line here that have the same question, and we just solved the three or four different people's problems maybe. So, but anyway, John at nationallibertyalliance.org, send me that information, put in the subject matter, this is the guy I was talking about, or something like that, something that'll make it obvious. Okay, E-P-R-I-G-I-F-F. What's your name? Give us your name, your state, and your county. First name, state, and county, and take the mic.
Utah, Pine County. Sorry about the background noise if you're picking it up. I have a problem in that our state organizer is real on top of it. Still, he was made state organizer, and then all of a sudden he's done nothing. We used to talk every week, we used to plan, and I had my elections back in September, the 1st of September, and I've been waiting to file, and you say don't file till you have at least five. Well, we have three, Salt Lake County, Utah County, and Iron County, mine. But the problem is, not only is he not doing anything, I've lined up other counties to have elections, and the other people, after talking to him, all back out and won't take my calls. He's not taking my calls. So I was wondering if you could just give him a call and say, what's up? After about a month of not getting any calls or anything, or him not taking mine, I sent him a few emails, and I got one email back that said, I just had a baby, everything's crazy, and that was it. So I know you're not supposed to take him out, and I'm not asking that, but what we do need is somebody to say, hey, what's going on? And if not, ask him if he can step down and we can get another person. Because we've had three elections, and two were supposed to go forward, but after talking to him, the people backed out. And I've got a bunch of people that are willing to do something and start, and we're waiting to file papers because you said to do five counties, and that's what we're waiting on. And unfortunately, my county is the most corrupt in the state, and so I know they're waiting to reject and stall us in any way possible. So if we have other counties that file at the same time, we can use their filings and their grand juries to help get mine through, so to speak. But if you have some information or some help on that, I would appreciate it.
Hey, if you guys get together and do a vote or those, and to take him out, and you get a majority vote, that, you know, that's you guys doing it yourselves, and you can inform us of that. I mean, I would talk to everybody.
Yeah, pretty much what Gerard just said. You know, this is why we tell people this is so important. You got to get to know the people in the county, other counties. If there's three counties or there's 20 counties in your state that have organizers in it, call those organizers. Introduce yourself. Say, I'm an organizer or a coordinator, whatever you want to call yourself here in whatever county you're in. And get to know these people. You guys should be on Skype a couple of times a week. I'm on Skype every night with the people in my state. Every single night. Okay? And I'm online with people every single night with people out of my state, all over the nation. So people need to be getting on Skype, talking, discussing about different things, making strategies. And we need to get each other to make sure everybody comes to the Monday night meeting. If people are organizers or coordinators and they're not coming to this Monday night meeting, something is wrong, unless it's a conflict with some other meeting they've been on to. At least they can at least listen to the recordings because we post the recordings. But it is so important to come and to these Monday night meetings and to get the knowledge and the understanding and to also get, you know, to neutralize all of the misinformation that's out there. And I think it's a very simple thing, you know, whatever the guy's name is, you give him a call and say, hey, Joe, this is Frank. And listen, you know, I appreciate your situation, you know, with your child and you're tied up and everything else. And maybe you'll be tied up for a couple more months and that's fine. But until that time comes and you can get back with us, we're going to get ourselves another state coordinator and you're welcome to work with him. And when you're back ready to up and go, you know, maybe we'll let you take the rank back again, whatever, the position. But you got to do it together. If you want to call him and call me on the phone, if there's a problem, you know, time me right in, or you call me and we'll call them, fine. But you guys should try to work it out yourself first. But I don't have no problem if you want me to get involved. But, you know, I think you should try to do it yourself first. It is so important, you know, take control of the fact that this person represents the whole state. And if there's three organizers in the state at this moment, then those three people get to decide who the state organizer is going to be if they want to do that. I tell people, look, whoever can fill the position, step up and take it, you know, and that's what's been happening and that's what's got to happen. And we get some good state organizers. But if we get a person that just doesn't really have the time for it, then replace them. It's up to the people in that state to replace that person, because that person's supposed to be out there and making sure that communications is going. He should definitely be at this Monday night meeting, and he should be pushing all of you guys to be at this Monday night meeting, and he should be going around making phone calls and sending out email, trying to get people in counties that are not on board and getting them on board. So that's what they got to be doing. And if they don't have the time, maybe because they have a newborn or something, well, we can all appreciate that. Let's get someone else to take that position. And maybe someone's going to take it temporarily and give it back to them later. Whatever. Just do it. You guys make the decision. You give me the call. Give me the new name. One comes down, the other up. It's none of my business. But I will assist in conversation if you need me. Get me on a three-way. If you need to pull me in, I'll talk. Okay, do you want to follow up on that, or shall we go to the next? If you want to follow up, pick up the mic. If not, we'll go to the next caller. Let's give you a few seconds to pick up the mic.
Yeah, well, I'll try and call him again. I'll try and contact him. And if I do get a hold of him, I'll try and get a hold of you for a three-way. But we have been trying roughly, basically what you said, and I was just hoping if you gave him a call or shot him an email, it might help. But you don't need to respond to this. We'll go ahead and do what we can to get it taken care of. And thank you much. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, yeah, do the best you can. And you know what we did, we in another state, I won't mention the state, we had a situation where the guy wasn't putting as much time as he really should be, and then another person came up and they started working with them, and another person. We got two or three people in a particular state that's working together to help this guy along, and they're going along that way. The key thing is getting more counties up, and that's really the responsibility. But there's going to be a lot more responsibility to that state individual later on, because they're going to become an administrator on the new website we're building. So you have to get a good person, and you're going to want to change that person from time to time. I mean, whatever you want to do, that's up to the people of the state to work that out. But, yeah, if you want me to talk, get me on the line. We'll talk. I'll talk to anybody. But we got to get organized. You know, here in New York State, we have two guys working on it. One guy's got his name on it. Another guy came up, and he wanted to help, and I told him to introduce himself to the other guy. And these two guys know each other, and they're working different areas. And even I'm involved with that. I'm working the northern part of the state, and we have another guy who's working the western part of the state, and then this other guy, he's working the central part of the state. And then we have another guy in the southern part of the western part that's working. We got lots of people working in New York. We've got to get moving. So it's more than one person, but we only want one name on the state leadership role at any given time. So, you know, that makes it easier for me when it comes to organizing the nation, that I can be talking to just one person for each state and not three or four or five. And then things get confusing. So, but anyway, yeah, if you need me, call me, pull me in on a three-party, see if I'm around before you do it, and then make the call, and then and we'll do what we got to do. I'm going to be unavailable tomorrow. Let's see, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I'll be back late Friday night. If there's anything really important, leave a message on my 233 number, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. But it's got to be really important. For those who have my cell number, they can call me on the cell. But again, only if it's really important, because I got some very important business we're taking care of, and so the next few days I'm going to be unavailable. Okay. Jacqueline, you go right ahead. You got the mic. Jacqueline, you got to hold the mic down. So it's on the left side of your. You click on the raise the hand, and just to the left of the raise hand, hold down. Hold the talk. You got to put your cursor on that, and with your mouse, right left click it and hold it down, or click the drop down box on right there next to hold the talk, and then click on lock mic on. And that'll hold your mic open without you having to hold it down. When you're done, just click on that hold to mic, hold to talk again, and it'll drop. So try it again, Jacqueline. Go right ahead. Jacqueline, try it again. Did we lose? Oh, there he is, Jacqueline. Try it again, Jacqueline. All right, Jacqueline, raise your hand when you're ready to try again. Meanwhile, we'll go to Donald. And by the way, if someone has a question or something that they want to ask, and maybe they don't have a mic, you can prepare your question down in your text area. But don't push the button to send it in. Just lift up your hand, and when it's your turn, then you can hit the question into the or the comment into the text chat, and then we'll respond that way too. Donald, go right ahead, and Jacqueline, raise your hand when you're ready, and we'll pull you to the front of the room. Don, go.
Yeah, it slipped my mind. I meant to ask you, did you get the secondary emails I sent you from Alabama that you asked for with the PDF format? Did they open up for you the second time? I know I sent the wrong format the first time.
Yeah, I don't recall. What were the PDFs on? Yeah, Don, I didn't hear that. What were the PDFs on? And I'll let you know that I got it. I don't remember. I get so much email.
Yeah, the letter to the Ten Commandment judge in Alabama, Chief Justice Roy Moore, and the certificate.
Yeah, I do not recall getting it. Let me suggest that when you send me email that you think is important that I need to get, and especially with some attachment to it, copy Gerard. And this way, if I don't get it, he'll get it, and I talk with him all the time, and he'll share it with me. But I don't get all my email. I don't want to get all paranoid on everybody, so, but I don't know. It must be some technical problem out there that I don't know about. But that may be the thing. Try sending me one more time and copy Gerard to make sure that I get it. And before I let off the mic, real quick, what happened with the Warwanto in New York? Well, we spoke about that early, so you might want to listen to the recording, but it's in motion, it's moving, and we're communicating over that with these people. The other thing, how can you get a judge, how can you indict a judge if the common law grand jury is not in place, indict a bad judge with who their puppet grand jury? A judge will never be indicted unless the other judges want to throw him under the bus for some other reason. Not necessarily other judges, but the powers that be, let's say. They want to get rid of a judge, they'll throw him under the bus, they'll get him indicted. Every once in a while, you'll get one indicted. But generally speaking, not going to happen because they protect each other. This is, you're talking about organized crime in its best. It all operates right out of the courtrooms, organized crime. Anyway, where were we? Don, did you want to respond back some more? Someone's not hearing me. Is anyone else hearing me? Give me some ones if I'm being heard. Anybody out there? Okay, I'm being heard. Thank you. All right, Don, did you want to respond? If not, if Don doesn't pick up the mic in the next 5 seconds, Tom from PA, go right ahead.
Hello. Okay, Westmoreland County, in some ways we have it, seems like we have it great, and in some ways I'm not so sure. We filed our papers. I think Hagen spoke about it before I got online. In fact, I think I caught the very end of this conversation. We filed our papers with the clerk of courts. We did have to pay a fee, and they did put a court number on it. They filed it under miscellaneous. When I took the papers up Friday, on the check I paid, the check I used to pay the fee, I put a disclaimer that we were paying the fee under protest. I also put that same disclaimer underneath my signature on the stamped page. And then on the stamp page also, I made mention that this is not a court case, so that hopefully that'll negate their number and charging the fee. And possibly later even get reimbursed, but $20 was only $21.40, so that's not an overwhelming amount of money to overcome. But we need to know exactly what to do next. We have a sheriff that claims to be constitutional but doesn't answer the phone or return phone calls for me at least. I'm actually thinking about, he's got a $75 plate fundraiser that he's getting ready to hold in a couple of days. I'm actually thinking about going there and confronting him in front of everybody to see what happens.
Yeah, I strongly suggest that you not do that. If you want to talk with him in private. But don't even bother calling your sheriff. Unless you know the guy and he's a good Joe and you can communicate with him. And, you know, but most people don't know their sheriff and they don't know you. And you're wacko. You're doing this grand jury thing. And You know, he has no knowledge. This is an unfortunate thing. We have sheriffs that are elected and have no knowledge of their true job. They do not have an understanding of their authority. They don't really understand law. And when I say law, I mean common law, the real law, the law of the land. They don't understand it. And they go to the New World Order minions to get their information. So as soon as you come from him to talk to this guy from the standpoint of common law and the grand jury, after he's finished with you, he's going to make a call to the county attorney. And he's going to say, hey, Mary or Joe or whatever his or her name is, you know, I just had a fella in here and we were talking about this, that, and the other thing. And she's gonna let him know, look, stay away from these people. These are those sovereign people. These people are crazy. They got a problem. They're going to end up in jail. We're going to deal with these people. Don't deal with those people. And you're not going to get nowhere. And what you're going to do is just going to cause a rift between you and just problems. So don't even go there with him. What you need to do is focus on the point. Stay on point. What we're doing is we're constituting grand juries in the counties. That's where our work is at. Once we constitute, we're organizing, we're communicating with the other grand jury leaders of the, you know, the administrators in the other counties. And at some point, when you come together collectively and say, okay, we got 5 or we got 10 or whatever it is that you're going to do, whatever number you want to get in order to file, then you file. Here in New York, we did 17, and that's when we filed, when we had 17 grand juries. And so that's what you do. Then your battle is to get a seat, and the next move is to get a seat in the courthouse. That's what we're doing here in New York. That's what Pennsylvania is doing. That's what you're doing. Then you get a seat in the courthouse. Once you get a seat in the courthouse, then you deal with the judge. First order of business, bind the strong man. The strong man of the house in your county, in the courthouse, is the judge. He's the strong man. He's the guy where this all runs about. It's all about him. Okay? You need to bind him down with the chains of the Constitution. Okay? And once that is accomplished, and that's done by a conversation, and you can't have this conversation until you're sitting in that jury room. The conversation goes that you got to obey the common law. And you need to be able to articulate. Someone has got to articulate this to them. And you take it, you show them the Constitution, the United States Constitution, and maybe the Pennsylvania Constitution. You show them the Supremacy Clause. You open, give them a copy of the book of the jurist and judge handbook. And communicate to him the necessity that he needs to obey the law. And we have a problem here. You know, we have a problem. We, as grand jurists, I have a duty now, and the duty is to correct all wrongs. And right now you're committing a wrong by operating a court in deception that is not common law. Now remember, he already knows you're coming, and he's probably already boning up on the common law. And he already, at this point, now that you have a seat, he realizes that you have power and authority. And he knows where you're going with this. And he probably will play ball with you. And he'll agree, okay, we're going to do the common law thing. And then you watch him like a hawk. But if he gives you a hard time and he's argumentative, no problem. He's got a choice to make. He can either obey, okay, he can resign, or we'll indict him and remove him from his job. Well, good. Either one. It doesn't matter. He leaves without giving you an answer. You let him know that as far as you're concerned, that means you're not going to obey and we're going to have to indict. And then you take it to the full grand jury. You present it to them. You talk about it and you decide whether you're going to indict or not, and you indict him. You might want to give him a call. You're going to call him before the full grand jury before you indict him because you got the jury room. Use it. You call him in. The whole grand jury is there now. And you start questioning him about the law and the common law and what he's going to do. And he may break then. If not, indict him. Get a new judge. Start with him. Now, the second order of business is the prosecutor. And you get that prosecutor in there. You tell him, we got a problem. We want to work with you. And we know that you're representing the state at this point and that you have all these cases and you need to bring them before the grand jury. And that's fine. That's us. Here we are right here with the guys. That other grand jury, that's a puppet, and you can't control them. And we have a serious problem with that if you think you can, because that's a wrongdoing, and you're going to force our hand to consider an indictment on you. So please don't do that. And so if you need a grand jury, give us a call, you let the judge know when he needs a trial jury, give us a call, and as long as we're doing that, we're good. If he tries to get a grand jury outside of you and use a puppet grand jury, you immediately call the 25 together, pull him in there, question him, and if you have to, indict him. Either make him obey or indict him. Now, the third order of business, now it's time to talk to the sheriff. The sheriff is already, he walks down to that courthouse, he goes through the front door, he passes by security, he passes by the different judges' chambers, he's in the courthouse, okay? And he comes to the grand jury room, he knocks on the door, he opens the door, and there you are, and maybe three or four others. And now you have your conversation with him. And every word you say to this guy is gold. And you give him a book and you tell him, here's the common law. We are the common law grand jury. The people are home and we're taking this nation back. And here is the law. And if you have any questions about that, give us a call. If you think you have to call the county lawyer, well, you can do that. But before you act, you better call us, too, because we might have something quite different to say than he or she has to say, and we don't want to see you get in trouble. So, you know, you obey the Constitution, you learn about this stuff in this book, and we're good. And we're going to support you, we're going to back you, as long as you're backing the Constitution. And you see, now you just made a friend, you've talked with him with authority, and of course, you want to be humble and friendly, and you let him know, look, I know you're a busy guy, but if you have any questions on this book, we can talk on the phone. Or there's a coffee house right down next to the sheriff's station or the jailhouse or whatever. There's a coffee shop over there. You know, I can meet you there anytime. Give me a call. We'll work out a day and a time, and I'll sit down. We'll have coffee for an hour or two, and we'll hammer out some of the things in the book and some of the questions you have. And if I don't have the answers to all of it, you know, we'll get back to you on that. And that's how you deal with him and become his friend. Okay, befriend the judge, befriend the prosecutor. You might want to hold your nose while you're doing that, but befriend him, befriend the sheriff, and keep them walking that straight line. And be humble, but when the time comes that you have to bark to let them know, get back in line, then you bark and get back in line. You make them get back in line. So anyway, we'll work this out, and we'll learn how to do these things, and the people will take control of the house again. All right, you want to follow back up on that? All right. If he doesn't pick the mic back up in the next 5-10 seconds, Jason, you pick the mic up.
All right. Thank you very much for letting me speak. A question: did you get my email I sent you about state about my state situation?
I don't know, to be honest with you. Again, you know, it's difficult for me to talk to people with email, and I make that point to everyone. Phone's the way to go. If you have an issue that's important, the best thing to do is pick up the phone and call me. My phone number is 845-233-6560. That's 845-233-6560. But if it's, you know, so if it's important to call me, call me. If you can talk on the line openly here, then we could do it here. You can do email. You could try it. It's a hit and miss for me. So, but anyway, you want to talk about it here?
Well, it doesn't matter. Basically, I spoke with our state leader, and he let me take over the reins until he can get his act together. And I think he's a great man, and he's an excellent. Excuse me. And I'm just proud to be knowing him. I'm just proud to be part of this organization. We're going fast and furious. I put together the November the 19th to have our election for the Hudson County, and I'm inviting all my fellow chairs in to be witnesses and to show solidarity for our state organization. And that location, I'm trying to get the Hudson County, one of their buildings, to open up in Lincoln Park.
All right, and is part of what you're saying here is that you or someone else is going to become the state coordinator for your state temporarily? Is that what you're saying, and you want me to make the changes up on the board? And, you know, anyway, is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's very true. That's the way I would do it. And I'm working forward, and we are doing fantastic. We are on North Carolina's line. And I think they're doing a fantastic job down there, and with their meeting and the craziness of the libraries. In Jersey City, they have 501(c) status organization, only use a library, and they're charging the nonprofits money to rent, which is a free public library. I don't know where the free came from, but certainly they're giving us a free load.
Well, that's absolutely true, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in New York, and I'm going to lead this one. Okay, as soon as we get in control here in New York and we have the time to deal with problems like libraries, which hopefully will be as soon as possible anyway, we're going to find out who has been given the authority to run this organization, because clearly they are not doing a good enough job, and they are no longer going to be the stewards no more. They're going to lose their stewardship on that. We're going to yank that contract or whatever it is, or whatever. They're gone. We need someone else in there. And whoever that, however the process is, I'm sure it's a private nonprofit or a group of people that are doing this, because the people in the library are not working for the government. So we're just going to find a whole new group of people. Everybody's gone. We're going to clean house and bring new people in, because they're making money here. There's no doubt about it. Someone is lining their pockets, and we're not going to tolerate this. You don't charge the people to come in to use their house. We paid for that building. We paid for those books. We pay their salary. How dare they tell us we have to pay to use a room? But we pay if they make us pay. We'll save the receipts. We'll see them later. So I suggest you guys do the same thing. So anyway, let me get this right. We're talking about North Carolina, and we're talking about you. I guess your name is Jason Berg, and you want me to put you on the leadership, state leadership role on our page until further notice. That's correct?
Correct on that. Yes, true that. Also, interesting thing about libraries, I'm a professional librarian. I retired. And the thing is that the policy is set by the Board of Trustees and enforced by the library director and her subordinates. But the real thing here is that the policy needs to be changed. And that's all I'm asking for. And if they don't do that, then the entire role of the appointed people can be dismissed. Under indictment.
Yeah, somebody who Robert Dale says the library is under the authority of the Secretary of State. So just to give you an idea, I guess that's who ultimately makes decisions too. I mean, I know they have library boards and things like that, and this might be a policy decision too. That's what you need to find out. They make a lot of policies that aren't even lawful, I noticed, in the counties.
Well, yeah, you know, and every this is a state issue. So you have to come together as a unified grand jury within your state to deal with this problem so that you're all on the same page. And so North Carolina will have to do what North Carolina has to do. I know what New York has to do. Of course, I got to convince the other. You know, I'm only one of 62 counties, so there's 61 other counties that I have to convince, and I'll do my best to convince them that the Board of Trustees, as far as I'm concerned, in New York State, is history. There is no second chance in this, and there's no indictment necessary. You just take away their job and their authority. And, of course, the Secretary of State, whoever is the Secretary of State, I think they need to be looking for a new job also. because this is repugnant. If the Secretary of State, if they're in charge of that board, if this is the case, they should know what's going on. They should know that the people are being charged, and I'm sure they do. And someone's pockets are being lined. There's money being, let me tell you, the state, every time it charges you money, the owners of the state is making a profit. And I didn't make an error when I made that statement. The owners of the state, your state is incorporated, and behind the scenes, there are people that have stock in that state. They own it, and they're making a profit. Okay? And that's true with your county. It's true with your towns and your cities. And it's no different with the library. They're making money. Okay? They're part of the system. And this is repugnant. It's got to be fixed. So we do have to get to the bottom of this, and we have to investigate and deal with these people. But anyway, anything else before we move on to the next person?
No, I just want to thank everyone for coming out and listening. You're excellent teachers, and we have to be better teachers in our field. And I came across the Sheriff Mack's book, really inspirational, and just reading your works, wherever you got, how long it's been you've been organizing this, your readings are fantastic, and the examples are fabulous to really be of our the trio of government, and getting back what we need to have is a sense of self and a sense of pride and a sense of peace. We don't have peace in our lives anymore. So there, I want to have peace and prosperity and longevity. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you, Jason, and we appreciate those kind words. And yeah, peace, isn't that what we're supposed to have government to secure our peace and tranquility? I thought I read that somewhere. Where did I? Oh, yeah, in the preamble to the Constitution. That's where I read that. They haven't even gotten past the preamble, some of these people. We got to bring that preamble into them and make them to realize and understand what their purpose is. Their purpose is not to govern us. Their purpose is to protect and secure our peace and tranquility, and to secure us. And we, the people, need to secure ourselves with the militia. It said that even the militia, it's necessary for a secure state. So, but all right, Johnny B K, what's that? K S, is that Kansas? Johnny B from Kansas, go right ahead.
Yeah, that was me meeting John.
Yeah, go ahead, Johnny. Did you want to bring something up? Johnny, did you want to bring something up? If you want to talk, raise your hand again, and I'll acknowledge you to take the mic next. The mic is down next to the raise your hand on the left side, and you click on hold to talk, but you have to hold it down. You got to keep the button on your mouse down on it. As soon as you let that button off, you lose your mic. If you want to, you can click the drop-down box to the right of that hold to talk and click on lock mic on. Then you don't have to hold it down. You could talk as long as you want with the mic open. You'll see the mic in front of your name. If you don't see the mic in front of your name, we're not hearing you. And when you're done, of course, you hit that hold to talk again, and the mic will drop. Just something real quick. I want to make this note. I think I made this earlier. Well, I did, but I want to make it again. Anybody that's having any kind of technical issues, and if you want to do mic checks and adjust your mic and everything else before you even come to the room or while you're in the room, all you have to do is go up to the help button on the top of your screen, click on the help, and click on go to help room. And you'll immediately go to the help room. and you'll raise your hand in there and talk to the people, or text chat to them your problem, and they will help you in that room. When you're done, you close that room down, and you'll find this room back. You'll be coming back into this room. So anybody that needs technical assistance, go in there. They will help you to deal with the problems. Johnny, if you want to talk, raise your hand again, and I'll acknowledge you next up. Jacqueline, go right ahead. Try again.
Jacqueline says his mic is not working. He says he's from Florida, St. John's County.
Gerard, you're sitting on your mic. Put it to your mouth. I can't hear anything you're saying.
Yeah, he says his mic is not working. He says he's from St. John County, Florida. He says, can you talk about Common Law Statewide Grand Jury Act, RICO? I don't know what that means. I mean, we do talk about doing a unified grand jury, you know, statewide on a state issue. That's what we're doing right here in New York right now, all grand juries acting in unison, and we call ourselves the unified grand jury, just like the Supreme Court calls itself the unified court system, because there's one Supreme Court with 62 locations, and the grand jury is one grand jury also with 62 locations. So based on that, that's why we operate like that, and any juror can operate in any county. You can pull jurors from other counties if you need them, and they're so in the unified word.
Yeah, maybe also he might want to be talking, maybe he's talking also a little bit about the fact that we brought up the RICO in our in our presentment, which was a true bill of indictment that we filed on four judges here in New York. And RICO, of course, is organized crime. And clearly, if there ever was organized crime, the judges in the court system is it. There it is. And they're making a lot of money. And they're hurting a lot of people. They're destroying lives. But anyway, maybe you might want to be a little more clearer and type in more of a question. Racketeering, influence, corruption, organization. Yeah, that's RICO. Racketeering, organized crime. Anything else? Just throw it in the text chat and we'll respond. Robert Dale, go right ahead. You got the mic.
Hi, John. Just a quick question. Once the grand jury is up and running, I was wondering if you recommend or have had any thought about using a court reporter during the process.
Using a court reporter during... I'm sorry, my mic dropped. Using a court reporter when? During the grand jury process? Is that what you're saying?
John,
You're on a third world there, Gerard. I'm not getting you. Robert, did you want to finish that? Am I coming through? Give me some ones or fives. Am I coming through? Testing, testing. I'm okay. Okay. Robert, maybe you can, you know, ask to finish that question because I didn't hear it all. You said something about using a court reporter, and I presume you mean during the grand jury process. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. I was wondering if you recommend that, and then I assume there's some type of funding needed for that as well would be a follow-up.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. I would not use a court reporter. Anybody that's not on that grand jury shouldn't be in that room, shouldn't be listening to what we're talking about, shouldn't be listening to any of the things we're doing. Hang on a minute. I don't know. Johnny B is red-dotted. Let me un-red-dot him. Anyway, definitely don't want to do that. What I suggest is this. I'd suggest to record. Get a good digital recorder. Get a really good one. Remember, when you're questioning people in the grand jury, they're going to be sitting in a chair up front. There's 25 people. There's a mic in there. Or maybe they'll be standing at the podium. I don't know exactly how that works, but one or the other. And they'll be talking in the podium. And I'm sure they have a place where you can plug in a mic from your digital recorder. And I would record the entire session, okay? Now, whoever would be chosen as the secretary for that particular session, and some people have better secretarial skills than others, so, you know, you want to find that person and kind of key them in. They will take that and they will make the notes of the jury. At some point, those notes, will be filed in a folder. You can probably keep the recordings for a while. I'd keep them in the folder too. You can put them on CDs. You buy a thumb drive for each one. Each file you have, you get a thumb drive, you throw it inside the folder, and you keep all the recordings for that particular case on the thumb drive. At some point, you might want to decide to destroy all the recordings. I don't know. That's up to the people. But at least you'll have a good record that you'll be able to go back to and review. And definitely you want to get something written into the record. You also want to, as you're going through, you need to accumulate the evidence. If you're going to be sending, if you're considering this case to be sending in, you need to be accumulating the evidence. And at the end of your hearings, if you decide to indict, you can collect all the evidence together, and you'll have that for the prosecutor. You want to hand that into the prosecutor after you file the indictment, and you put a note in there, and the prosecutor should be giving you a call, so you meet with them, and you pass on all the evidence, and you communicate with them, and then you move on. So that's up to the each jury. I would think that at the end of the case, you'd probably want to destroy the recordings. That's my thinking. But you guys are going to have to, everybody's going to have to figure that out, what they want to do with that. Now remember, we're not there to indict people. If you find a situation that this person deserves to be indicted, well, obviously then you've identified an injured party, because there's no crime if there's no injured party. So you want to talk with this injured party, and you want to try to figure out what's a good compensation for this person. And when you and the injured party, when the grand jury and the injured party can agree on that, then you can bring it to the person, the accused. And you can let the accused know, look, we can just do away with this trial and everything. You have to restore the injured party. We spoke with the injured party. We think you're guilty, so we're going to indict you. But if you want to bypass all that, and if you are guilty, here's the deal we're going to offer you. And then just make the contract, and restitution is required. If they don't fulfill their contract, then you can bring them in and bring them into the trial jury. They could decide what to do with them. Or you can maybe make an agreement in the contract, which is probably the best way. Why don't you solve the problem before it even happens? I didn't think about this before. Once you agree on the contract, you put down that if they violate this contract, that you're going to move to step A. And if they violate again, you're going to go to step B. Step A may be something like, well, we're going to put a ring on your ankle, give them one of the ankle bracelets, and we're going to make sure you're in a certain place at a certain time, and you're working at a certain place in a certain time, and you're doing these certain things at a certain time. And if that doesn't work, then maybe you put them into the jail at night, and then they get to go out to work. During the day, you put the ring on them. Whatever. You be creative, because remember, that person has to be out there restoring the individual they violated. Now, if the person says, hey, I'm not guilty, well, if you guys think he was guilty, you indict him and send him in and let the trial jury unravel that problem and figure it out, because they'll get more in-depth and they'll probably be able to figure it out. And remember, in there, all they have to do is just have one jurist to say, "Nah, this guy's innocent," and if they can't agree at some point, then that's it. It's a hung jury. This guy walks. Anyway, we got to work it out. Yeah, Gerard.
Yeah, for some reason, Johnny B. B. something, his mic is still on like it's up, and he's stepping on you. You're very low. You need to turn your mic up, or we got to get Johnny B.'s thing out of the... his mic is up above my name right now, and I think it's causing the volume to go down. The other thing I wanted to say was, and you're low, people are complaining that you're too low, and I think you're too low. The other thing is as far as keeping minutes, we're going to have to look into that. There's times when you're supposed to keep minutes, and there's times when you don't. When the grand jury is deliberating, they deliberate in secret. But when you're interviewing witnesses, I do believe that you have to keep minutes. That's the law. And I have some experience on this by when we used to meet in executive session on the town board, because you under the open meetings and under justice, you know, we have to have some kind of a record of what we're doing in there. Even if it is secret, it has to be written down in case anybody ever has to go back, you know, for whatever. We should look into that. But when the grand jury's deliberating, trying to decide whether to indict or not, that's secret, because you can't have people knowing who voted what and whose opinions were what. That's totally in secret. But when we're doing an investigation, I do believe that somebody has to take minutes of that process. That needs to be documented and stuck in a file. It doesn't go anywhere. It stays with the secretary. It's not to be released to anybody. There would only be very special occasions where it's released.
Well, you know, what you're saying about Johnny, I'm not seeing that or experiencing that. I did raise my mic. Hopefully I'm good. Give me some ones, twos, or threes, or whatever it is, if I'm okay. But, yeah, absolutely, I agree with that, Gerard. And again, that's why it's good to keep a recording. And then this way, the secretary, whoever's keeping the minutes, they can get very accurate minutes. And this is important information, because at some point, yeah, after we come together and we decide and argue out the points, what we're going to do, and then finally make our vote, then after that point, if an indictment goes through, then what we have to do, we have to go back to those minutes and accumulate all of the stuff necessary that we think we have to give to the prosecutor for prosecution. And remember, we don't have to give them everything. We'll have to discuss what we should give and what we shouldn't. And should we give them all the minutes, or should we, you know, just write down the conclusions using the minutes and all of the evidence that we've collected and put into the file and so on. And then they take all that stuff and they go on and start to do an investigation. They go through the discovery process and all that other stuff that they do. And then they go to trial. So my suggestion is a recorder. I use a recorder on any good conversation I have so that I can go back and make all my notes. And boy, how I miss so much. When I go back to a recorder and stop and play and stop and play and stop and play, and I get this all on paper, what I really, the information I wanted, wow, what an education I get usually, especially if the person is giving me some really technical, good information for what I need or I'm looking for. But I always make it for me, I always destroy the recordings afterward. I just don't want those recordings around. If I'm using it just to make notes. If I'm making a recording for a different reason, that's a different story. But other than that, but people will figure that out what they got to do. Anyway, I don't see any other hands up. So if anybody has a question, now is the time, or a comment, now is the time to raise your hand and let's get up on the mic and see what's going on. Tom,
I'm still not clear. You went on about the sheriff, but I'm still not clear what Westmoreland should do next.
Refresh me. Are you talking about with the sheriff? If you're talking about the sheriff, I would say don't go talk to the sheriff. Until you get power, don't go talk to the sheriff. He's not going to understand you. He's not educated. unless you know the sheriff, and he is up on what's going on, he does understand that there's problems in our country. He does understand the Constitution. He is constitutional. And, you know, if he's someone that's like a Sheriff Mack or one of those other sheriffs out there in Arizona or I think there's one in New Mexico, you know, those sheriffs that seem to know what's going on, those guys you could probably talk to. But most of the sheriffs are as dumb as a box of rocks. And I hate to say that, but they're not educated. They haven't boned up on the Constitution, and they're as dumb as we are. Matter of fact, they're dumber than we are because we're at least getting educated. it's not going to get you anywhere. The moment you talk to him about this common law grand jury, I am guaranteeing you he is going off to talk to the wizard up there in the county attorney office, and he's going to say all kinds of terrible things against you. So wait till you get power to talk to him. Now, I don't know if I missed anything, but I think that's what you were talking about, wasn't it, Tom?
No, you missed something. They filed already, and they took their filing and paid a fee. He wants to know what's next. He talked about the sheriff because he thought maybe that was next. I think their sheriff is kind of on board, but that's not where you go next. Where you go next now is to get the room, the grand jury room in the court, and start operating. So once they filed you, now you go in. All you guys show up at the thing and say, we're here to pick up the keys to the grand jury room. That's your next step. Now, it's great if the sheriff's on board, but you don't need him right now. Right now you need to get the judge, bound down so that he's allowing you to operate in the court. So they took the paperwork. Now you need to get into the jury room and get the jury running. Once you're running, you know, once you get in the courtroom, then you can start calling the sheriff in and the prosecutor in and different people and talking to them and introducing yourself. Those are the next steps.
Yeah, I went through that a little earlier, but I don't think that they filed yet. Tom, you didn't file yet, right? If you did, and there's no other counties that filed, you might want to wait off a little while till you, okay, they did. You know, make sure you got five or six counties. You got to be friends with the guys in the other counties. You got to be working together. You got to be communicating. You have to back each other up. You got to watch each other's back. You got to come into together. Look at, we have 19 grand juries here in New York. I can guarantee you, the day that we talk to our judge in my, let's say take my county, I can guarantee you that most, if not all, of those leaders of those 19 grand juries are going to come to my county and sit on that day in that room as we talk to the judge, and then we go talk to the prosecutor, and then we talk to the sheriff. We're going to do it together. And we're all going to get knowledge and understand how to do this way. And then we'll do another county and another county and another county. And if people feel confident they can go off on their own and do it, fine, you know. But you want to get – you need at least – when you talk to any of these people, you need four people, minimum four people. You don't, and it's not the whole grand jury, but you can have 24 if you want, you know, but you need four people. And you work out the situation with each one of these individuals, and if there's a problem, that's when you pull the full, 25 together. Yeah, I don't think he's ready to go in and to talk to the judge or anybody yet. And if that's the case, you need to be boning up on the common law, listening to Thornton's lectures out there online, reading the books that we wrote. We've got a lot of material, a lot of videos, a lot of stuff to look at and listen to and read. And you need to be communicating with the other organizers and getting to know them. Work in strategies, ask them what they think about this, and get their opinions, and work together, you know, united we stand. And if you need opinions from us, give us a call. If you want to set up sort of a group meeting and Skype us in, so to speak, into a room that you got together, just make the arrangements beforehand, and we'll come together, and we'll talk to the group, or we'll come into a Pal Talk room, we'll make a private room here, and we'll talk, or whatever's got to be done. We'll help you if you need our help. If you can work it out in your state, work it in your state. But you can't do it alone. Don't be an island. Work with the other counties. Did we get everything, Tom? Tom, you want to respond to that? Go right ahead, Tom.
Yes. So Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. Yeah, Tom, go right ahead. We heard you. Tom, we didn't get you. Go ahead.
I don't know where Tom went, but Jesse's dying to talk. John, in Pennsylvania, the clerk took the paper and filed it, and it's on file now. What they need to do, if the clerk is going to take the paper and file them, they need to get two or three or four or five or ten counties filed and then go in and go and try to get into the grand jury room. That's the next step. See, in New York, they haven't filed our paperwork yet. In Pennsylvania, they gave them a number. They're ahead of us. And so the next step is to get into the grand jury room. You may want to do that with a couple of counties. You may not want to do it by yourself. But they're ahead of us because they're accepting their filings. And so as long as they're accepting your filings, what I would suggest is that you get more than one county filed, and then you go in and try to get the room. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but who accepted the filings? Did the chief clerk accept it or the county clerk? Which one is it?
They gave him a number, John. I don't know. It must have been the county clerk, but they got a number like they filed it. It's probably the county clerk. I don't know that it's the Pennsylvania is different. They're filing it. It's got to be the court clerk. It's not the county clerk because they don't run it like they do over here. And we told them to go into the court clerks. So the court clerk wrote to the administrative judge, and they got a number. He asked permission to give him a number, and the chief judge of the state said, you have to take it. It's the law, and he gave him a number. And that's what's going on in Pennsylvania.
Okay, so if that's the case, then it's very simple. Call that person up that gave you the number and ask them to introduce you to the custodian. That's the next step. Once you're introduced to the custodian, you know, you say to him, look, I'd like to meet the custodian. We'd like to get access into the grand jury room. And 2 or 3 years go down on whatever day you agree upon to meet the custodian, and you meet him. They lead you into the room. And when we say you get the keys to the room, it's not a literal keys. You know, they don't lock those rooms, I don't think, anyway. You know, it's just that you're getting access to the room. So once you get access to the room, the custodian takes you and gives you access to the room. You now know you can come in at any time you want. Before the custodian goes, the next thing you do is you say, can you take us down to the mail room? We'd like to be introduced to the people in the mail room. We want to find out where our mailbox is. And he or she may say, well, it's right here. The mail will be brought up right here. I say, okay, so they bring the mail here? Oh, yeah, okay. Can you bring us down there so we can meet the mail people in the mail room? So he'll bring you down there. And you make sure you let them know that, okay, we're going to be collecting our mail up there. Any mail comes in, I guess it goes up there, right? Yeah. Well, find out where that box is, okay? That's the second order of business. Third order of business, okay? Within 2 or 3 days, have a meeting in that room. And when you come, and also ask the custodian, where can we get ID cards so we don't have to go through security every time we walk in here? There'll be 4 people who will get ID cards, and only 4. You know, they're the administrators. So you get the ID cards if they give them out. Okay. Now you get a bunch of people to come together and just have a meeting in the room, even if it's only for a half hour. Be careful what you say. They may be recording you. Ask the custodian again. Where is the recorder in this room? Is there a recorder? And where's the control for the speakers and the microphone and so on and so forth? Get him to show you everything that's going on in that room. Ask him is he aware of another recording system that might be in that room. Okay? But don't trust that there isn't a second, because there probably is. Anyway, have a meeting in the room. Be careful what you say. And just at least once a week for a little while, go into that room. And then start making the arrangements to talk with the judge, and then the prosecutor, then the sheriff. You know, but let's take the first steps. Get into the room, get your mail going, have your first meeting, and let's talk some more about it. And let's get the other counties doing the same thing. Pile on. Pile on. Anything else on that, Tom, or are we done? Raise your hand if you want to pick up the mic again, and I'll acknowledge you. If not, we'll move on to the next person. And, anyway, let's see, who's next? Jesse, go right ahead. Jesse, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Hold that mic button down, or click on hold. Hold up the button. Jesse, you got to hold on to the button with your cursor and your mouse as you're talking. Hold on the button. Or lock mic, drop down box, and lock your mic, one or the other. Jesse, go ahead. Don, go right ahead. Jesse, if you want to talk, raise your hand. Don, go right ahead.
Yeah, Gerard, if you're looking in the chat room, I uploaded those information that John wanted me to mail him, PDF files, the letter to Roy Moore, and the receipts, certified mail receipts. I just put them in the inscribed website, and I put the link in the chat room here for you.
Okay, thank you for that. I'll get on them. So just make sure I get them, John, before you close the call, because the text chat moves. It's hard for me to get on things sometimes. Listen, Jesse got a number. They got a number in Pennsylvania, but there was some talk on, you know, normally when a grand jury convenes, they get a number, and then the number goes away when the case is over. They were talking about giving them a permanent number that didn't go away for the common law grand jury. Whether they did that, I don't know. I think that's what Jesse wanted to talk about, but he's having trouble. So I just wanted to say that, you know, they did get a number, and it was under the permission of the administrative judge, because he knows the law. He knows that they can't throw that crap out, and so he told them to take it and file it. Now, and I think somebody said they wrote on there under protest for paying, and he also wrote for not for a court case. Because, you know, if it's like a court case number, in so many days they'll throw it out, and then you'll be back at square one again.
All right, we'll have to see how that works out. You know, we're going to have to discuss that particular situation, depending on how that works out, because they're going to have to understand that this is the administrative part of this process will always be in play. But once you get into that room and you get that access and you start talking to the judge and get everything under control here, the next thing, there are other steps that needs to be taken. You know, we have to file for budgets, okay? And we'll start talking about that when we get to that point, in more details on the budget and how to find out what the budget is already in your county for the grand jury, and talk about salaries and so on and so forth. And so we'll have to work all those details one step at a time. There's just way too much to talk about. But let's get access into the rooms, and let's find out a little more information about this number to make sure that it does not expire. And eventually they're going to get to understand what we're talking about, that you know, we're not going to permit puppet grand juries and the puppet juries. All right, right now I'm going to end the recording, but we'll continue talking. Hang on 1 minute.